on the next one, the next slide, we have the Babylonian exile explained. Now, you say, Pastor, why is this important? Because, listen, yes, repetition is the key to learning, but here's the thing. If you're not understanding in what time these people were living in, and what conditions these people were living in, or what was happening around this time, then you wouldn't understand their perspective. What you would understand is your perception, right? What you think is your truth. And here's the thing, when it comes to the Bible, folks, our truth doesn't matter. Okay, the Bible is not relative to your truth. The Bible is an absolute truth. It is what it is. Amen? It's true. It's not a lie. It's not filled with these preconceived ideas. Why is that important? Because some of us can apply the Word of God based off of what we're going through, and we might be able to relate. We might be going through similar things, but here's the truth, right? Is America in exile or in captivity? Yes or no? No. But there's a different type of captivity, though, right? There's a spiritual kind. This is how it can apply. This is why the Word of God has spiritual application. This is why it's important. Many of us are held captive by our devices. Amen. Many of us are held captive by social media. Many of us are held captive by what's going on in this world. We run the course of the world. We're held captive by the news. Some of us are held captive by hobbies, sports, fishing. Some of us are held captive by what are virtually good things, but then they become corrupt. Working is good, right? But when work takes priority over what we should be doing, then it becomes wrong. Family is good, but when family takes over to the relationship between us and God, then it becomes wrong. Now, I'm not saying family is wrong. I'm saying too much of something does become wrong, or not sinful, but it weighs you down. We can apply that. Here are three different waves of deportation that occurred in the Babylonian captivity. During 605 BC, you say, Pastor, where do you get this? This is in the Babylonic history or in records. You can look it up. Amen? You can look it up. Iraq. This is modern day Iraq. So what does that do to us believers? It connects us to what? History. If it's connected to history and it happened, it's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a nice little story that we came up with. It's real. So there is that authenticity, right, of what we're talking about. This deportation, 605 BC, was the very first deportation. This is when Babylon captured the nobles. These are people of high esteem, people, prestigious people, people with money, people renowned character, and guess what? Young men, the strength. So they took two things out of Israel, right? High society and the strength, the young men, the youth. This is in scripture, Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. So you can look it up in the Bible. Who was part of that deportation? What's the name of the book? Thank you. Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when we read it, right, they didn't bow down to the idol. Okay, that's them. And by the way, Daniel, like Joseph, worked in the court. And let's say in the right now, what would be considered the court here in America is the White House. They worked in the court of the king, the most powerful men at that time, with the most powerful empires at that time. Daniel rose up to be the third in command. Joseph, second. Anyways, so 597 BC, I just think these are interesting facts, was the second deportation. Babylon captured the king, Jehoiakim, and then thousands of Jews. These thousands of Jews was the labor force. They were the middle class, what we call here in America, middle class America, the working class. So the rich and the noble, the young men, went in the first wave. The second wave, they took the king, the leader, and the people with skills, the welders, the blacksmiths, well, no welders back then, the blacksmith, the carpenters. They took all of these men, All of these families, all of these women and children, they took them, okay? And you find that in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 10 and 16. The third wave that happened in 587 BC. Why are these numbers declining? It was going backwards because they were looking toward the what? The Messiah. I don't know how they figure this part out, okay? This is God. But they were. That's why it declines. It goes backwards. At first, before getting into college and getting into the Bible as much as I am now, prior to that, I was always interested in history, but I would read these years, and I'm like, what in the world? Why is it going backwards, right? But that's how they dated those things back then. They were looking toward the Messiah. Here's the thing. The third deportation was when Babylon destroyed Jerusalem, the capital city of Judah, and the temple. This is where Ezekiel's ministry started, after the third wave. Now, he was captured in this wave. But it was in 5 years later where God called him, where he's in the river of Kabar. That is the Kabar Canal. I told you how important that was to the Babylonian Empire. The Kabar Canal connected to the Nile River. But for Babylon, Iraq, that canal was so important because it gave them irrigation. It gave them the opportunity to water the plants, the forest, the grass, whatever. But it was also for drinking water. This is where they lived. This is where they had the Jewish settlement of all these skilled workers. Ezekiel's ministry shows you in 2 Kings 25, 1 and 10. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1 and 3 shows you where this ministry began. What's the last one? So the starting point in it shows you here, Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, shows Ezekiel living among captives near the Kabar River within the Babylonian Empire. Ezekiel was originally a priest. His father was Buzi, and he belonged to a priestly family that served in the what? In the temple. Well, if they destroyed the temple, did he have a job as a priest? Not anymore, right? God turns Ezekiel from a priest to a what? A prophet of the exile. Here were people that everything has been taken away from. Everything that they enjoyed, that was near and dear to their heart, everything they loved, was taken away from them. And God sent them a man of God to encourage them during this time. Understand, Jeremiah was sent to them prior to this, before this happened, warning the people. Isaiah, warning the people, saying, hey, get right with God. Turn away from your rebellious attitude. Hey, before something happens, get right with God. Because what might happen might tear your families apart. What might happen might destroy your cities. What might happen might take away your safety. Guess what? Did the children of Israel listen? They kept rebelling against the voice of God. So God sent a preacher to remind them, this is the consequence of your sin. Let's get it straight. God is not only limited to Israel. God can use another kingdom. God can use another empire to chastise or to discipline his children. Amen? This is what he sent here. Understand that this man had to tell the people, look, basically, this is your fault. Because you didn't listen the first time. It's your fault. And they had to understand that. Not because he's pointing, hey, you're a bad person. No. Take responsibility for your actions. You see how this applies to us? Amen? Before something bad happens, take responsibility for your actions. Not Israel. Not the king. Not your family. Your actions. Your behavior. That's what the man of God was called to. To remind them, it's your fault. It's your fault. Now guess what God is doing? Holding you accountable. You can say, well, I did this. I did this right. Yeah, but what did you do wrong? Israel, what did you do wrong? This is why God sent Jeremiah.
This is why God sent Isaiah to warn them, turn away, turn away. And then guess what? Ezekiel was there to remind them, this is why this happened. Oh, by the way, God, he's not an unjust God. You know what he's going to do? He's going to take out your enemies. He's going to take out Edom. He's going to take out Moab. He's going to take all these people out. So God is going to give you justice. It's not going to be real quick, though. You've been doing this for so long. You've been living in disobedience for so long. You've been taking God for granted for so long. You've been going to church for so long, but yet live like the devil for so long. Why do you expect God to turn it around? It doesn't happen that way. But take responsibility, right? Don't think of anyone else. Think about yourself. Take responsibility, and then think about your behavior that you've done for so long. Then you expect God to help you? No, no, it's going to take time.
Because that's part of the process of the journey of the faith. And some of us might say, well, what's the point? Well, the point is worse. That's the point. That's the point. The point is, if you don't do it God's way, it's going to be worse for you. I mean, look at it. All this time, you've done it the way you wanted to do it. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Okay, that's in Judges, the very last chapter 24, the very last verse. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And what happened every time, every single time? The people cried. They suffered. God brought a hero, a rescuer, took them out. They rejoiced, and then they went back to their ways. Amen? So Ezekiel now is telling them, look, there's going to be justice. Take accountability for your actions. There's going to be justice. But here's the thing. God's going to change your heart. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. The man of God is saying, God is going to change your heart, and he's going to restore you better. Now, restoration is not necessarily a replacement. Okay? He's not replacing you. He's going to make you better with a new heart. And this is Ezekiel's message. Take accountability. God will fight for you. And then he's going to make you better. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 12. If you're still with me, say amen. The Bible says this, for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and read it. And they went everyone straight forward, whether the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. Now, what this is talking about is the living creatures. They move in obedience. But not just in obedience. Imperfect obedience. What do you mean, Pastor? They don't delay in obedience. They don't hesitate in obedience. Let me ask you something. How many of us here this morning know that God is telling you to do something and you refuse to do it? Don't raise your hand, please. That's between you and God. That's your business. All I know is I need to be right with God. Amen. To be up here, I need to be right with God. To be the husband my wife needs, I need to be right with God. To be the father that my kids need. That's all I know. What you do with your time, that's up to you. But let me ask you, what is it that God has shown you in his word? Young person, listen. What is it you in his word that you should be doing right now that you're delaying? Oh, God, I'll get to it. After I finish school, after I finish work, I promise you, I'll do it after I do church. After I go to church and listen to the pastor, then I'll do it. It kind of sounds like when a parent asks a child to do something and they procrastinate. Hey, go clean your room. And they hesitate and they're like, now if they tell you no, that's straight out rebellion. But some kids are smarter than that. Amen. They're a little bit more clever. Amen. They would say, oh yeah, I'll get it done once I finish my game. And parents, let's say they do. Sorry, coffee's dripping everywhere. Amen. Thank God for beards. It wipes everything off. Amen. Sorry. And let's say they do. Now, you know what we would say most parents would say? Sorry. Most average parents, you know what they would say? Man, I have good kids. You know what? They at least did it. At least did it. That's not what God is talking about. By the way, parents,
Delayed obedience is disobedience. It's the child doing what you told him to do at their time. You're not in charge. And it's not about being in charge. But you know, people that are in charge don't have to say, "Hi, I'm in charge." Amen? The reality is, the reason why sometimes children don't obey parents should is because sometimes, and I'm a culprit of this, okay? No one's perfect. But I'm telling you this because this is how God works. Sometimes these kids don't take us serious because we let them what? Those of you, come on, parents. Come on, parents. We let them get away. We let them slide. Those of you that are not parents, learn. Because we let them slide. Brother Cullen, can you help Brother Strout there real quick, please? We let them slide. So the kids, they take us what? They don't take us serious. Do y'all take us serious? Yeah, y'all better. Amen. No, I'm kidding. No, but they, you know, they might take us serious maybe in this area. They don't take us serious in all the areas. That's the truth. God is a heavenly Father. When you and I think we're getting away with something, guess what we think in our mind? Because we're selfish. I'm not saying the kids are selfish, but that's how we think. It's natural. God's not, he's not serious. Look, I got away with this sin, right? I got away with this. I mean, he's not serious. But man, God doesn't work in your time frame, sir. Ma'am, God doesn't work in your time frame. He doesn't work in my time frame. He's eternal. You know when he works? In his timing, in the nick of time. What do you mean? When you least expect it. You and I can think we're pulling one over God, right? And then when things happen, like, man, when it rains, it pours. And we're wondering, but God, why? You're just thinking of the times that you've been faithful. What about the times you've been unfaithful? What about the times you've been unfaithful to God and God's let you slide? What, do those not exist? You know what God's into? Man, God's into profit. Okay? What do you mean? He gives you talents to profit the ministry. And if you waste those talents, he'll give it to someone better than you. What? Someone more obedient than you, not better in skill set. Someone more faithful than you. You probably have potential, many of you do. But you know what you're doing? Wasting it. Instead of clicking, instead of connecting, instead of being here, you're somewhere else. So God's like, you know what? I see. You're not serious. And then we wonder, but God, why? Why did this happen? Come on now. Let's be 100. It's because we didn't take God serious. These creatures moved in perfect obedience. They're celestial. Now, what you and I have to understand, do you and I move in perfect obedience to God, or do we have to second guess everything that God opens in our way? Do we have to question everything that God does in our life? Instead of saying, God, I'm trusting you, I'm going to obey, I'm walking through. Amen? No? All right. Here's the thing. How many of you, it's a rhetorical question, you don't have to answer. I hope you know the right answer. But how many of you, if one of your family members were to say, hey, why don't you come with me to go abort my child? But they don't say it that way. Why don't you go with me and be there to support me in my abortion? How many of us would say, yeah, I'll go with you? Don't answer, please. I don't want to know your heart, amen, or your lack of Bible. You know what we do a lot? We delay in obedience with God in this way, how we think. We look at it as, well, I want to be kind instead of, what does the Bible say? What is true? Sometimes when we preach the truth to our kids, we don't tell them that because I want to be kind to you. That's not real world experience. In life, when they get a job, guess what? Their boss is not going to be kind to them all the time. You know what? The customers that they service are not going to be kind to them all the time. That's not real. That's fake. That's not real. You know what you had to tell them? No, you still need to do what's right, even though people get offended. That's true. That's real. I'm not going to go if my son, and I love you, Zeke, but if my son and his future wife, amen, I don't know, if, amen, we got to work on the dating part, but his future wife, amen, I'm just using this as an example. Obviously, I don't think Zeke's going to do this, but if they decide, hey, you know what, we're going to go abort our child. That's even disgusting and ugly to say. But if that were the case, and Zeke were to say, hey, Dad, I'm having a hard time, I'm going through a struggle, he doesn't see it, you know, but he's like, he's doing wrong. That, and you're a Christian, you're not going to want to do that. Amen? And then, but I got to support my wife. Will you come there and support me? You know what I'm going to tell him? No. I love you. I love you. That doesn't stop me from loving you. I'm not going to support your sin. I'm not going to go with you and approve of your sin. It's like saying, Pastor, but there's all sorts of sin. Yeah, I'm not going to support your sin. I'm not going to say, I approve this message. No. I want to be in obedience, in perfect obedience to God. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I know his perfect word tells me what's right. I know his word that's perfect tells me what's truth. Now, if something's in your past and something's happened like that, okay, don't do it no more. Right? Don't do it no more. What does the Bible say? Did Jesus condemn the woman that was sinning? What did he say? Go. I don't condemn you. Go and what? Jesus didn't say, I approve this message. Is that what he said? He said, let me go there for your moral support. I know you feel bad because all these guys are using you. And the Pharisees were going to stone you to death. Here, let me support you. Here, hug me. Jesus didn't say that. What did Jesus say? Hey, listen, I don't condemn you. But go and what? That's important. Go and we'll say, you know what? If there's somebody in here, I'm only going to obviously do one verse because that's a good one. These beasts were in perfect obedience to God when they moved. Ezekiel was trying to tell the people, look, are you in perfect obedience to God's word? If someone is struggling with drugs and you know it's their downfall, would you say, I'm going to go support you. Let's go get high. Here, at least, listen, you can get high in my house. What are we doing? Hey, but you know what we would say? We would say something like this. Hey, I don't support your drugs. I don't support abortion. But if you have a homosexual marriage, I'm going to go support that. Till death do you part, live in sin. Some of you would. Your coworkers getting married, they're gay or queer, whatever that is. It's not a marriage. But I'm going to go support them because I'm a friend. So you're a friend to the devil? Are you a friend to the devil? You say, Pastor, but you don't understand. That's my family. But you wouldn't support someone that's going to live in sin, right? I know these topics are not, what do you call these? Popular. But like Ezekiel in that time, I'm not worried. It's truth. And here's the reality. You should thank God you have a pastor that doesn't matter about popularity and actually cares about your heart. You know why? Because some of you are letting the lies of this world dictate and determine how you live. I'm trying to be honest with you. Because guess what I was filled with when I lived growing up and where I grew up? The muck, the mire, the gutter that some of you have never experienced. And listen, thank you. You shouldn't have to experience what I experienced. You shouldn't. But I'm telling you, all the common things that these people have that can't break the cycle is what some of you guys are allowing to lead you, the lies and deceits. Can you turn it up a little bit? Understand what I'm telling you, man. This is spiritual. It's not about whether you're black or white or brown. It's not whether you make this amount of money or not. It has nothing to do with that. It's not whether you're educated or uneducated. It's not whether you comprehend to the capacity that others comprehend. It's not whether you're like super spiritual and other people are not. It has nothing to do with that. You know what it has to do? Whether you choose to believe the truth. That's it. Are you willing to push your pride to the side and say, God, I will follow your truth over my feelings? That's really it. Because if you don't, you're not a perfect creature in the sense like these creatures were that God showed Ezekiel. None of us are. That's why we need the word of God in our lives. This is why we need to read the Bible and understand what does it say. So we won't say, I plead ignorance, God, I didn't know. God's not going to say that in that day when we go up to heaven and we're being judged for our works. He's not going to say, oh, you didn't know? Oh, okay. You think God's going to give you an excuse? No. No, what world are you living in? At the job site, do they give you an excuse if you show up late? They'll work with you. But if you continuously have that pattern, what are they going to do? You're unprofitable, bro. Bye, sis. Burger King's hiring. No offense, Burger King. Amen. They're getting their whoppers back. Amen. They're on the comeback. No. Understand that the quality of life that you want to live, if you want God to bless your life, if you want God to, if you want the favor of God in your life, listen, those arguments that blow up and are explosive sometimes with those of us that are married, guess what? They decrease within time based off of the choice you make, based off the choice I make. Am I going to listen to another sinner, just like me, who I love to death, or am I going to listen to the word of God and trust the word of God over her? I know this is tough, right? Guess what I'm going to do? Because I love her, I'm going to listen to the word of God. Listen to what I just said. Because I love her, I'm going to obey the word of God over her. By the way, ladies, the same way. Because you love him, you're going to listen more to the word of God over him. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm not saying be disobedient or be unsubmissive. No, no, no. I'm going to listen to him, his word, right? If you're a lady, I'm sorry, I'm not a lady. But if you're a lady, you're going to listen to God over your husband in that sense. You don't have to like it. But here's what's going to help us. The truth will make you free. These creatures were perfect in obedience. And they didn't hesitate when God commanded and they heard his voice. Guess what they did? They obeyed. If you have an inkling of hesitation, you're disobedient. It doesn't mean God's not going to bless you, but what you're doing is you're missing out on the potential of the blessing of God. To the degree you obey the word of God, to that degree will he bless you. It's not a trick. It's not fake. Here's the truth. You get mad and you get upset because you're doing it wrong. I'm in the same boat with you, okay? I get mad and I get upset when I hear and listen to the preaching and it doesn't align with my actions. Guess what I do? I'm like, oh. But don't stop. Don't let that keep you and prevent you, impede you from progressing in your journey of faith. Because anything and everything good that you have in your life is because of God. Because of God. And some of you have great faith. Work it. Work that faith. Work it. Don't allow these circumstances to stop God from working in your life. Work it. Embrace it. How many of us here are perfect? Raise your hand. All right. Oh, Ms. Shantae's not here. Amen. I forgot. Amen. We care for you, Ms. Shantae. Amen. How many of us have a perfect Savior? Raise your hand. Amen. Oh, okay. Amen. We have a perfect Savior. This is why we need him. You say, Pastor, how can I get more from him? Obey. Don't delay. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Don't hesitate. If God shows you the truth from the word of God, not what I think is the truth. Does that matter? No, look what happened to them. What they thought was the truth, look what happened. They ended up in captivity. Know the truth. Where can you find it? The Bible. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, Lord. I know I'm preaching to the choir here because I know that many of our church families, not just our personal friends, but many of them trust you and believe in you. But this is the type of preaching that is needed, especially during a time where it seems like there's no hope and there's a lot of chaos, Lord. We need to become more of a resilient people, a people that don't break under pressure, but that we can bend. And in reality, Lord, we know that this is not the true reality you have for us. As Christians, we know the true reality is that we are more than overcomers, that we can overcome this.